Season 4 of For All Mankind from Apple TV is now officially out, as episode 1 has just premiered for his amazing series. How was it? Let's talk about it, but first...
Let us begin.
Cheers, everybody. Welcome to Bruce Stilled. I'm your host, Brandon, and for this episode of Bruce Stilled, I'll be recapping the Season 4 premiere of For All Mankind from Apple TV. Season 4 of For All Mankind is officially here and is well worth the wait. The events between Season 3 and Season 4 were really game-changing, as the newsreels on Apple's website really does show what happened in the world between the events of Season 3 and Season 4. And I'll talk about that a little bit here in Bruce Stilled, but overall, our beloved characters in For All Mankind are now at different phases and different stages in their lives and in their careers. Some remain in outer space, some are on Earth, while some remain on Earth awaiting a return to outer space. Also, we have new characters as well in Season 4, which could really change the series going forward beyond Season 4. So, for this episode of Restilled, I'll be recapping Episode 1 of the 4th season of For All Mankind from Apple TV. But first, what beer am I pairing for this episode of Restilled and for Episode 1 of For All Mankind, the 4th season? Well, that beer is called Oort Imperial Stout from Ecliptic Brewing in Portland, Oregon. This is a barrel-aged Imperial Stout brewed with raspberries, lemon zest, hazelnut milk, and spices aged in bourbon barrels. It's overall a pretty unique stout, a pretty unique Imperial Stout, that is. It really has a really nice flavor. Upon tasting this beer, I definitely do taste the lemon zest. It really does stand out. And the raspberries also stand out as well, but don't appear probably 3 to 5 seconds when I'm tasting this beer, as the mouthful is also amazing as well. The flavors really do come well together with the raspberries and the lemon zest. But overall, I'll definitely say I taste more the lemon zest in this Imperial Stout. The raspberries are there, but from tasting this beer, the more behind the scenes, they don't stand out that much as a lemon zest. Now, lemon is a very potent fruit, and it also has a really nice citrusy flavor to it, which is why I definitely do believe is why it stands out more than the raspberries. Flavor-wise, this beer is amazing. It's a really smooth, easy stout to drink, and also the ABV is 11%, but it also doesn't feel that way as well. Now, Imperial Stouts really do have higher alcohol content in terms of ABV, but this one really doesn't feel that way when I'm tasting it. For my theory on this, I definitely do believe it comes from the fruity flavors from the lemon and the raspberries, which is why this is more of an easy drinkable Imperial Stout that can easily be drinked faster than normal Imperial Stouts. Now, Imperial Stouts, in my experiences with them, have more coffee chocolate flavors and are more drinked slowly and not as quickly as this one. Not that I'm advocating chugging a stout. You definitely do not want to chug an Imperial Stout, especially with their higher ABVs. But this one, with the lemon and raspberry flavors, those really sweet flavors, make this stout really easy to drink and faster than normal than other Imperial Stouts. That really stands out with Imperial Stout from Ecliptic Brewing in Portland, Oregon. This is also batch number 5 from 2022. The coloring is also very dark as well, just like any other Imperial Stout. The head on top really does remain for quite some time. It comes in a bottle and also really nice label as well. It has a barrel on the bottle floating through outer space. A perfect beer for outer space and For All Mankind, and a great beer to kick off Season 4 of For All Mankind from Apple TV. And that beer is called Oort Imperial Stout from Ecliptic Brewing in Portland, Oregon. Definitely do check it out. The flavor is amazing and also very innovative as well, with the raspberries and the lemon zest and the hazel milk and the spices aged in bourbon barrels. This is a prime example of a perfect Imperial Stout. Definitely do check it out. So here goes my recap of Episode 1 of For All Mankind, the 4th season. Just so you know, there will be spoilers. So if you have not seen the show and you want to watch the show, do not proceed forward, because there will be spoilers. Ready? Well, here we go. For Episode 1 of For All Mankind, the 4th season of Apple TV, the year is 2003, a time jump from the year 1995, and a lot has happened in 10 years between Season 3 and Season 4 in this time jump, with a lot of progress and also a lot of challenges in the world between Earth and also outer space, such as the Moon and also on Mars. There is a newsreel, just like in every season, talking about what happened in the world, and here's some highlights. Al Gore is president of the United States as alternate timeline. Danny Stevens, the son of Gordo and Tracy, went to prison for his participation in NASA headquarters bombing at the end of Season 3. And also, there's also an international base on Mars right now, staffed by International Coalition of the United States, the Soviet Union, the European Space Agency member nations, the Coalition of Communist Countries, Japan, India, and also North Korea, which is now advanced advance into outer space given their first ones on Mars. Also, President Ellen Wilson wins re-election and gets married to Pam, but also there's no mention of Larry, as Larry's not mentioned in this newsreel, and his whereabouts and current status right now is a mystery. For the newsreel, it really does show a pretty unique chain of events occurred between the events of season 3 and season 4, but also one thing that really does stand out with this coalition on Mars is that China and Canada opted out of joining that coalition. And I do wonder, can that play a key role in the storyline going forward in season 4, with possibly Canada and China being a challenge with this coalition? It's a very odd combo when you think about it, China and Canada. Canada's very pro-Western, and China's more communist affiliated. But could this combo, by opting out of the coalition on Mars, prove to be a challenge later in season 4? Because remember, every season for all mankind does have an international challenge. Can it involve China? I definitely think there's a possibility. Now for the episode's introduction, with all the progress made on the moon and also on Mars, there's now mining going on asteroids floating around Mars at the Mars base, which paves the way for the introduction of the first episode for season 4 of For All Mankind. This is very significant because we see Ed, who continues to work for Helios as the executive officer on the Mars base. Also, Ed, though, is very different in this season. He's more stubborn, more committed to space, and also explains a rather odd behavior, which I'll talk about later. But going back to the mining on the asteroids, the episode starts off with Happy Valley, the Mars base, which is now the main base on Mars, and also the main location, the international base on Mars. We see our favorite Soviet cosmonaut, Cruz, be the guy who selected to go on the asteroid to begin his very first mining on an asteroid in outer space. At first, Ed wanted to do that, but apparently Ed and Cruz had a card game, and where Cruz won the card game, which paved the way for Cruz to become the first guy to mine an asteroid in outer space, even though Ed had really wanted to do that. Ed is at the controls of the spacecraft, paving the way for the expedition, but also later Ed finds out he was lucky he was not the guy. More on that later. It turns out that their resources and valuable minerals on these asteroids are being mined to pave the way for further economic development in outer space to benefit the nations of the United States and the Soviet Union and the member nations of the International Coalition on the Mars base. From what I see, we definitely see more collaboration between the member nations on the Mars base, despite their separate ideologies and also separate government systems. But also, so far, all is well in Happy Valley on Mars, as everyone's teaming up to mine minerals on asteroids and coexist, and also have a very unified command structure, as Ed does co-pilot with a Soviet cosmonaut in the spacecraft, and there's also friendly interactions between everyone in this base. But I definitely do believe that could be short-lived, as I definitely do see tensions happening later in the season. For the mining expedition, it starts off quite well, and also proves to be some minerals on the asteroid, showing a very emotional moment in this episode, with Cruz on this asteroid. The background music is excellent, very cinematic, very outer space feel, as Cruz becomes the very first guy on an asteroid to mine for minerals, and also being a Soviet cosmonaut as well. Now, I love Cruz, the Soviet cosmonaut, a really cool character, very charismatic, and also a great fit for the series. But also, we have our beloved characters to talk about as well. With Elaida, who does return in season 4, it turns out Elaida had a very dramatic turn of events in the past 10 years. I thought Elaida was going to take over for Margo at NASA by becoming a flight director at NASA, but it turns out Elaida is now rank and file at NASA. She's on the floor, she's still working for NASA, but also appears that she's been demoted, even though she's still working at NASA. But also Elaida is also struggling with the events of the NASA bombing, and does have some rather unresolved mental health issues, such as PTSD from the NASA bombing, and her flashbacks that she has in this episode. But also Elaida appears to be back with her old husband, and also has two kids of her own, a boy and a girl. But her home life also does seem rather quiet as well, but also not very highly functional at the same time. It appears Elaida's husband is rather distant from Elaida, as he's unaware of her mental health issues. But also Elaida continues to work at NASA, but also struggles with PTSD, and also flashbacks from her time at the NASA bombing that occurred in season 3. For Margo, our beloved Margo, one of our favorite characters in this series, someone we all love, despite what she did back in season 3. For Margo, just like Elaida, Margo lives what I see as an isolated life, except that Margo is now living in the Soviet Union after she defected there back in season 3. Her life is isolated. We see her morning routine as she starts her day. Now, Margo, I thought, was going to be working for the Soviet space program, helping them design rocket engines by helping them to advance their space program. Instead, it's the exact opposite. Margo's kept in isolation. She's not even being utilized or even wanted by the Soviet space program. She's also watched by what appears to be the KGB as a watcher when she leaves her apartment building. But also, Margo as well does have some kind of a community in Russia. The baker knows who she is. The newspaper guy knows who she is. So it does does appear that Margo is also well known in her new Sylvie community, but also she's not happy. She's not the old Margo we normally see, who is also working with NASA. Instead, Margo pretty much lives in what appears to be a quiet retirement that's also rather forced. From seeing this, you can tell that Margo isn't happy with her new role in the Soviet Union because she has nothing there. She has some people who know who she is, but also Margo is not doing what she loves, and that is working with outer space programs. And also, despite her best efforts, Margo isn't involved with the Soviet space program despite her best efforts to do so. For Ed, Ed is working for Helios, and also never returned to NASA, but also it appears that Ed is practically driven to be in outer space, and he's also very distant from his family. And also, Ed does appear to have a very disconnect from planet Earth, as it appears he's been in space for 3 years now. So Ed's been in space for 3 years now, he hasn't even set foot on Earth. He's not the same guy. He seems more really in tune with outer space, as he always was, but also, he doesn't have that family life anymore. That's something that's missing from his life, and it's also really sad to see Ed in that state of mind and all the situation. He's very effective in space, of course. However, it appears Ed doesn't want to be on planet Earth, and you can understand why he's in that state of mind, because on Earth, he lost Karen back in season 3 due to NASA bombing and other tragic events as well. So I can see why Ed doesn't want to be on planet Earth. There definitely could be other reasons for this, I'll probably find out later as the season does progress, but also in this episode, it does appear that Ed is showing some signs of an illness that could be Parkinson's or something else altogether. It's also chipping away at Ed as well. For Danielle Poole, she's back on planet Earth, retired from NASA. She's at a party at Danny Stevens' old house for the birthday of his daughter, and Dawson's wife is there as well. It appears that Danielle's happy being back on Earth and also retired from NASA. She's also helping Danny's wife with the birthday party, as he got a very strong bond. It does change, though, when Danielle goes back into the kitchen and sees a photo of Danny with his daughter, and the facial expression on Danielle's face really does change in a very dramatic way. I'm watching the scene right now. It's very ambiguous what her facial expression is showing, but it's also when it does show sorrow and sadness, and also hints of possible anger. Maybe that's just her acting style, but what I'm seeing in the scene right now as I watch it, definitely something happened between Danielle and Danny on Mars, because in the photo from the news montage at the start of the episode, there was a photo of all the astronauts when they came back from Mars, and Danny was not in that photo. So apparently something happened on Mars between Danielle and Danny, which is why Danny most likely died on Mars. Why did it happen? I'll share my theory on that later in the episode in the question segment. Whatever it is though, it's something that haunts Danielle to this very day. And also, I definitely do believe she's keeping a secret from Danny's wife, who apparently is oblivious to why Danny did not come back to planet Earth. Personally, for Danny's wife, I think she believes that Danny died a hero, but we all know Danny, we saw what he did in season 3, and he most definitely is not a hero. He almost got everyone killed on Mars, and almost destroyed the entire Mars program altogether, but I definitely do believe there's a secret that Danielle's keeping from Danny's wife, who probably believes that Danny died a hero. Personally, I find it to be very moving and also very engaging, because Danielle really did show that very well in this scene, and also appears to be hiding some guilt as well about what happened to Danny on Mars. And I definitely can't wait to see more of that get revealed as season 4 does progress. For another highlight in this episode, we do get introduced a new character called Miles, who's a former offshore oil rig worker who lost his job when the oil company started closing down because of the fact that fossil fuels are no longer needed given advances in space technology and also electric vehicles. Miles, looking to save his family from divorce and also find a whole new beginning altogether, looks to get a job at Helios, and he goes to Helios and lies his application to get a job at Helios by saying he went to Florida State. But also, Miles also does have valid work experience and the credentials to work on Mars. Originally, Miles is looking to work on the moon, but given the time frame he'll get on the moon by, which is about 2 years, he finds a way to get on Mars much sooner in order to start his whole new job. From what I see, this definitely does open up a pretty unique story arc for all mankind, also for his whole new character, Miles. In my view, he has an everyman mentality, a very good character trait to have, but also I definitely do believe that him lying on his resume to get on Mars will definitely come back to haunt him in a very big way, and also probably paved the way for a very nice story arc in season 4. So far as new character Miles, I like this new character. We definitely all knew that as the series progressed, we're going to see new characters as the cast got older and older in terms of the original cast. So far, I like this new character Miles. He's a good dude, actually. I like this character. He wants to help his family, and also is willing to make a lot of sacrifice to make that happen. I see part of Ed in Miles, but I definitely do not think that Miles will go down the road that Ed is on right now. Because Miles was never really involved evolved outer space to begin with, he's a new guy to outer space. Ed was always a space junkie and devoted astronaut, but also Ed and Miles, in my view, may share some similarities between the two of them and might even have some scenes together as the season does progress. For the episode's defining moment, we go back to the asteroid, where Cruz and an astronaut named Parker are both mining on the asteroid after Cruz made his very historic walk on the asteroid. Something goes very wrong, or something technical goes wrong, where Cruz and Parker are trapped on the asteroid. Ed wants to come out help out Cruz and save Parker. Sadly, Parker is killed. Cruz tells Ed not to come save him as Cruz tells Ed that there's a hole in his pressure suit. Ed is then forced to make a very difficult choice by abandoning Parker and Cruz, leaving Cruz to die on the asteroid by separating the spacecraft from the asteroid. It's a very moving moment, seeing the death of Cruz, one of the very best characters from the Soviet side in this series, and also very surprising way to start episode 1 in season 4. I definitely thought we were going to see a lot of Cruz in this series for season 4, but apparently that's not the case, as in this episode we lost a fan favorite Cruz, and also one of our favorite characters as well, in his death in episode 1. From my perspective, it's definitely a very shocking way to open up season 4 by getting rid of Cruz so early, but also does show a lot about the power dynamics and also how people are recognized in this season also by how they're honored, because there's news footage talking about Cruz's death, but they also do not name Parker as well. This definitely does show how people are honored and how some are forgotten in this alternate timeline. Cruz was a hero for the Soviet Union and also an icon in outer space, but Parker was treated like a nobody in this news footage. I definitely do believe this will play a very big role in the season going forward by showing who gets recognized and who doesn't. Parker, in my view, is seen as expendable, and I definitely do see we'll see more of that in the season going forward, and it turns out the contractor astronauts are treated as nobodies and expendable in the eyes of the world, and also the corporations who do employ them. To go back to the character Miles, I definitely do that Miles will be an example of this in this season, but he'll be a character who does a lot of work on Mars, but gets no recognition, but also he may be a guy who pushes to change that as well. The theme of workers' rights will definitely play a key role in this season going forward, and also probably play a critical role in the main storyline. And we saw that from the death of Parker and how he wasn't recognized. For the aftermath of the incident on the asteroid, it really does have some major repercussions. Miles' wife does not want Miles to go on Mars now, but he goes anyways. As for Danielle Poole, she goes to NASA headquarters at the request of the current administrator of NASA to go back to Mars. At first, Danielle does not want to do this. She's retired from NASA and is happy with her retirement, but given the death of Cruz, Danielle's more motivated to go back into outer space and command Happy Valley on a Mars base. Also though, Danielle, and rightfully so, does have a lot to say about NASA bureaucracy with their budget cuts and how they run NASA. I definitely do believe this NASA administrator, in my view, could be an antagonist in this series, and also being a businessman who once worked in the auto sector, he doesn't know how outer space runs and is also clueless and is just another bureaucrat running NASA, who may butt heads with Danielle going forward in this season. For some further intrigue, Danielle runs into Will at NASA headquarters. Will is happy, he has a great job at NASA, and he's also engaged to be married. He talks to Danielle, they do catch up, and they do talk about Danny. We see more about Danny where he stands in the series, but also we do not get clear details on this. It is clear that something happened between Danny and Danielle in outer space, and Will tells Danielle just to let it go, that she did what she had to do, symbolizing something really did go down between Danny and Danielle on Mars, which is why it appears Danny died on Mars. We don't get clear answers on this, but a topic does come up between the two of them, appearing to show a lingering mystery on Danny's fate in For All Mankind. For Margo back in Russia, Margo makes an unannounced visit to Soviet space headquarters to try and give advice about solutions about what happened on the asteroid and also to help out their space program, only to be rejected on the spot. It really does show that Margo has no place in the Soviet Union. Yes, she did defect her back in season 3 based on the advice from the Russians, and they told her she was under investigation back to the United States for her giving secrets about NASA to the Soviet Union for their space program. So Margo in this new world that she lives in Russia, she has no place. They don't want Margo. They do make mention that she does have monthly meetings there. They do make mention that she does have regular meetings there, but it does appear that her advice is never taken by the Soviet Union. And they also do tell Margo that the knowledge that she has is now out of date. After the meeting, Margot goes back to the park where she usually spends her time alone, and a mysterious woman makes talk with Margot. Margot doesn't know who this woman is, but the woman also knows who Margot is. She makes a very cryptic comment to Margot, saying they're now in winter, but spring is coming and Margot must be ready. She then leaves behind a phone number for Margot and disappears. And I definitely do believe this woman is definitely very mysterious, and I do wonder, who is this mysterious woman that was talking to Margot? Is she with the KGB or the CIA? I don't know yet, and we'll never get her answer on that, but whoever this woman is, she has a strong interest in Margot, and we talk with Margot further in the series, as this woman is also a regular cast member for season 4. For the ending, we do see a spacecraft in outer space on its way over to Mars. Danielle is on board, and also Miles as well. They're on their way to Mars for the new chapter in their lives. As for Ed, he's on Mars in his room, smoking marijuana, and also dealing with his unknown health issue, showing that Ed is also going down a different path in life by having this medical issue and also smoking marijuana. And also it's worth noting that during the newsreels about news events in this alternate world, there is no mention of legalized marijuana. So probably Ed is smoking marijuana on Mars against the law, paving the way for I could see a very unique storyline development in season 4 as it does progress. And that is where the episode ends. So overall, it is a very unique way to open up season 4 by showing new characters, our beloved original characters now in older age, but also going back to outer space and continuing their missions on space, but also lingering mysteries such as Margot in Russia and the fate of Danny on Mars, and also who that woman was who's talking to Margot by leaving Margot a very mysterious phone number. For other questions I definitely do have from episode 1, those are, where's Ellen, and what about Larry? We do know that Ellen got married to Pam. Still though, what about Larry, her ex-husband? And also who helped her throughout the entire series? Where is he now, and will we get answers about Larry? I definitely do believe we need to know about Larry. He's one of the original characters in this series, and also played a key role in the storyline, so there must be some kind of update about Larry and where he'll be in this season, even if it's just for a very brief moment. Also, what is up with Ed, and will this be his final season in this series? All these issues with Ed we saw in this episode, his advanced age, his medical issues, and also being very stubborn as well in outer space, and also being away from Earth for a few years and away from his family, really does show a very different side to Ed. Could this really show the sign of things to come for Ed, and could this be his very final season in this series? That there's another question I have from this episode based on my observations. And also, where is Dev now? It does say in the newsreel that he's working with electrical vehicles, but will Dev return to the field of outer space exploration? That there's another question I have for this season. And also, Leda's future at NASA. Is that at jeopardy? Can we see Leda leave NASA and probably do something else altogether, given her PTSD, including her unresolved mental health challenges? These are all issues that Leda's dealing with in season 3. And also, will Leda and Margot have a reunion in season 3? Most likely, Leda doesn't know that Margot is living in Moscow. She probably thinks Margot is dead, including everyone else on the cast. They most likely don't know that Margot's hiding in Moscow as a defector. So could we see Margot and Leda reunite in season 3? And if so, under what circumstances? For another question I definitely do have, and a really big one from this episode, that is Danny and Danielle. What happened to Danny on Mars? He most likely died on Mars, but how did he die on Mars? Well, here's a theory I definitely do have. In season 3, when Danielle and Cruz overtook that North Korean astronaut, Danielle buried a pistol on Mars and marked it with a tire iron, right near where Danny got exiled at the end of season 3. That could be a clue to Danny's fate on Mars by explaining why he never came back to planet Earth, and also there's a lot that Danny had to face in the event he did come back to Earth. Ed told Danny he's going to face a reckoning when he came back to Earth, given all the trouble that Danny caused on Mars. I can't help believe that Danny cannot face a fact that he's going to return to Earth and face a reckoning that Ed was talking about, all because of what he did on Mars. So I definitely do believe that pistol that was hiding outside where he was exiled probably holds a clue to his fate on Mars, and we'll probably get answers on that as the season does progress. I can't help but wonder though if Danielle was also responsible for what happened to Danny on Mars, because it was Danielle who left a pistol there. We still don't know yet in terms of what happened to Danny on Mars and Danielle's role, but could she be responsible for what happened to Danny on Mars? And if so, how does it impact her and the storyline in season 4? That there is definitely one of the questions I have from episode 1 of season 4, along with the others I addressed in this segment. But overall, a really good way to start season 4. I definitely do believe more surprises will come, and also more intrigue in Russia. But also, I definitely do believe we'll see international crisis in season 4. I definitely do see that potentially coming from China and maybe Canada, as as they did not participate in Happy Valley on Mars. Could the key for future crisis rely with China and maybe Canada? We'll see. For now, though, that is where I'll leave it. And that should do it for me this episode of Brewstilled. Please do tell your friends and family about this podcast, and please rate this podcast under Zard Podcast Directory, as feedback is always appreciated. Also, do stay tuned for coverage of the 2023 NFL season, Season 4 for All Mankind from Apple TV, guest interviews, craft beer content, and other topics of interest. Please do follow this podcast over on Instagram, and Brewstilled Podcast is also on Blue Sky Social. For the meantime, do enjoy this good craft beer, bourbon, whiskey, and this month of November. I'm here with Brandon. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you all next time. And until then, be brewed and be distilled, folks. Cheers.